Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The passage may be found in your pew Bibles on page 976. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. May God bless to our understanding the reading from his holy word.
Let's join our hearts again in prayer before the throne of grace. Lord, we look to you and we ask for your blessing to be upon the reading and the proclamation of your word. Lord, we cry aloud with the Gentiles who are seeking Jesus. We would see Jesus. And he rejoiced because he said, where he be lifted up, he will draw all peoples to himself. Draw us all to Lord Jesus this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit, using your word. Amen. So this morning I want us to reflect a bit more on the phrase that's found in verse 3. The phrase is in heavenly places. Normally, I would have moved on from this verse, but this phrase in heavenly places has implications for how we as Christians are to view the world. And I believe that having a Christian worldview is vital for us, especially at this moment in history. Since the COVID pandemic, things have changed and are changing. We could spend several minutes examining the way things are changing and the reasons for the rapid change, but I don't know that that would prove to be spiritually fruitful, so we are not going to do that. Instead, I plan to demonstrate how we as Christians live in two worlds simultaneously. We live in this world and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Our citizenship is there. So I touched upon this briefly in a sermon 3 weeks ago. We live in this world. We also, I said, live in a completely different plane of existence from, you might remember, from Joe Pagan or Nancy non-believer who does not know God. We have the life of Christ and we have a new nature in him. We have been taken from the dominion of sin and we have been lifted above the earth, the world's empty way of living. We live in a new kingdom with a new power for living because the Holy Spirit lives in our soul. Every spiritual blessing is yours in Jesus Christ. And so I said this all 3 weeks ago. I said more than that, but I hope this jogs your memory. We not only live on a different plane of existence, we also see the world in a completely different way than the world. We have a Christian outlook on the world, a Christian worldview. We need to see the world as God intends us to see it. We need to also see ourselves as we really are in Christ. We need to see our place in the world as Christians from God's point of view. If we see ourselves as the world sees us, I think we'll be discouraged. But when we see ourselves as the Bible teaches us to see ourselves, We can abound with optimism and encouragement. So this morning, I'd like to help us build a Christian worldview that we can take with us and that we can wear like glasses everywhere we go as we live our lives here in this world. So what is a Christian worldview and why is it important? Well, a worldview is built on the beliefs that we carry very near and dear to our heart. These are the ultimate commitments that shape the way we see and respond to the world. And everyone has a worldview. From the youngest here this morning to the oldest, from all Christians and non-Christians, everyone has a worldview. We live in an age where the worldview of Darwinian evolution rules the world. People, according to this worldview, are not seen as creatures created in the image of God. Rather, they are accidents, so to speak, or rather pawns in the process of natural selection. Because of this prevailing worldview that really became rooted very early in the 20th century, Russia and China alone, they combined, but those two countries alone executed, murdered 100 million of their own citizens in order to implement and maintain their enforced communistic policies. These were not people killed in war. These numbers don't include World War I or World War II or the other Cold War wars that were fought in different places. Rather, these are people, citizens of Russia or the USSR and communist China that were murdered by their own governments. They did not care how brutal they had to be in order to enforce communism because people were only seen as a means to an end. It was their worldview that allowed them to kill and brutalize men, women, and children. Worldviews are powerful because ideas shape our hearts and shape our beliefs, and beliefs have legs. We act upon our core beliefs, and we can see just how powerful this worldviews can be when we look at our own culture. I'm horror struck, and I'm sure you are too, every time we see videos of parents happily bringing their children to a drag queen story time at a public library. Why in the world would a public library allow such a thing? But the greater question is, why would a parent willingly subject their small child to this overt sexualization? There are other transgender or drag queen events that you can find out on the World Wide Web, videos that are just too disgusting to be described. And people bring their children. But the pictures I've seen of these drag queen story times typically show a man dressed up as some kind of very scary female witch, often with a child on their lap. And the parents have to know deep down in their heart that this is unhealthy. But they are so committed to the beliefs that shape their worldview that they are willing to sacrifice their child's well-being to push forward their ideology in our society. In other words, worldviews are powerful. As Christians, we have a worldview based in the Scriptures. As we read the Bible, our beliefs are shaped and fashioned by the truths that God has revealed to us in the Scriptures. As we read and memorize scriptures. As we attend church worship or attend church and worship Him with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we meet with other Christians and study the scriptures together, and as we read and listen to scripturally sound books and podcasts, our core beliefs, our worldview forms our outlook on the world. So here's how a worldview works, or how a Christian worldview works. God's truth shapes our heart and our beliefs. Then those beliefs form a conceptual framework in our heart, in our mind. And so we see the world within this framework. We see the world and interpret the world through the grid that is through a scriptural grid. Or I could use my glasses. I take my glasses off and you're just a bunch of nondescript fuzzies. I think I could probably recognize maybe Mike Taylor because of his beard. But I don't even know if I'd be able to recognize Dan. I see some fuzzy waving their hand in the back of the sanctuary. But that's about, and now that I put my glasses on, I'm not surprised it was Hillary. But as we study the scriptures, as we understand what God tells us, it brings life into focus. And so as we see through a scripturally informed and built grid, we are able to see things as they are meant to be seen. We are able to see the world as it is, as a sinfully broken world, but we are also able to see not only each other in Christ, but everyone in the world as creatures created by God with deserving of our dignity and love. We are able to see how the problems of the world should be addressed and solved through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the information or data or stuff of the world comes to us, we interpret it in light of how God teaches us to see it. So let me give you a practical example of how the Christian worldview shaped the Apostle Paul's view of other people. So this is just one plank in the worldview process, but I think it can show us how to go about building a Christian worldview for ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, "The love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this." And so then he describes the importance of Christ's death for sinners, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. The love of Christ controls him. The love of Christ, he is committed to Christ's love. That is a foundation plank of his core beliefs. The love of Christ teaches him not to view people as Jew or Gentile, as rich or poor, as white, black, Asian, not to put people in those terms or categories. Rather, he views people through the grid of Christ's death for all people. He says, from now on, this is going down to verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. He simply saw people as saved or lost. He saw people as in Christ or heading headlong into hell. That's the way he viewed the world. That's the way he viewed people in the world, either saved or lost. So let's take a moment to build this plank in the foundation of our own worldview. How do you view other people? Truthfully, I think most people view others as a means to their own happiness. Most relate to others in a manipulative fashion rather than with self-giving love. We want to know what they can do for us rather than how we can serve them for their good. I'm not saying that we should try and nice people to death or nice people into the kingdom of God. You know, we look at our Lord Jesus. We've been spending all this time in Luke. Jesus was not so nice all the time. But he loved them, and he loved them well. Remember how in Matthew 15, a mother came and she knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." That's not very nice, Jesus. But he caused her to ratchet down on her faith in him. He caused her to become even more desperate so that she knew that she needed Jesus. And so she begged him. And of course, he heard her, because that was what he was intending. To help her, but he wanted her to not only have her child healed, but he wanted her to have a faith and love for him. And there's so many times that Jesus did things like this. Do you remember in the Gospel of Luke how Jesus destroyed two different dinner parties that he had been invited to? I think one is in Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 54. Just blew it up. And then in Luke 14, verses 1 through 24, another one, he just blew it up. But he was going after the people in those dinner parties, seeking for them to trust in him. He knew what people needed most. They needed to trust him. And like Paul, he regarded no one according to the flesh. He simply saw people as saved or lost. He saw all people as needing him as their Savior. So each interaction with others, he charged at them with love, seeking to give them what they needed most, even though it was disruptive, because they did not know that they needed what he was seeking to give them. He was seeking to give them himself. By the way, I included this little rabbit trail because I needed to preach this to myself this morning. I am far too willing to view people with worldly regard rather than lovingly pursuing them for Christ, because I don't like interrupting their weary, spiritually dead existence because I might make them mad at me. I need to shape and reshape my worldview and bring it in line with how God teaches me to see others. Shaping and reshaping my worldview is just another way of saying that I need to repent of not loving my neighbor as I love myself. So we spent 4/5 of this sermon introducing the concept of worldview. Let's peek at our text and make some practical applications. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because that is where Christ is. He is the source of our every spiritual blessing, our reconciliation to God, our forgiveness of sins, our adoption into God's family as his dearly loved children, our eternal life, our unshakable security and our salvation, our possession of the Holy Spirit and our soul is all in Christ. Even our citizenship is in heaven because we are in Christ. He is in heaven. Therefore, so also our citizenship. We have a heavenly life. We belong to this heavenly realm. We also have a spiritual nature that non-Christians that do not possess. This spiritual nature is our chief characteristic. It should dominate our life. We live here in this world. We are continually bombarded with the world's philosophies and the world's worldview. But what is most important is our heavenly position, our heavenly identity. We live in this world. We have flesh and blood, and we must interact with the world, and we are continually bombarded with the world's point of view. I bet all of us, and I know myself, are influenced by the world and in ways that we don't even realize. Our young people, with their lack of experience, often don't realize how greatly they are being influenced and manipulated. Even when parents homeschool and limit social media, the influence still gets through. Regardless of what the world says, you belong to the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. That is your foremost, your principal identity. You have a spiritual nature. The Holy Spirit has made you a new creation in Christ. He has made your heart His home. These are biblical facts that are true of every Christian. Even if you don't feel like it's true, it is true. These biblical facts are pivotal foundation planks in our worldview. So let me ask you, do you see yourself as a child of God who is completely forgiven of all your sins in Jesus Christ? Do you understand that your soul is secure in Jesus Christ? Do you live with the knowledge that you have a spiritual power for living that non-Christians simply don't possess? This spiritual power is vigorous and is active because God the Holy Spirit is living in your soul. As a believer, you're still a sinner. We're all still sinners. But the Spirit of Christ, if you are a believer, dwells in you. So let me ask you, are these truths making a difference in how you view yourself? Are these truths actively affecting your daily life and your choices? They should be. They must be. These gospel truths should continually revolutionize our whole outlook on everything. We have a lot of problems in our world. Our country is suffering. Individuals in our country are suffering. We as Christians are suffering in various ways. And the world is not shy in presenting solutions. There's a solution for everything. But with a Christian worldview, we are enabled to see through the world's solutions. We're able to see that most of those solutions are empty and actually harmful. The world sees most of our problems through a sociological lens, a scientific or medical lens, or a political lens. Therefore, they try and solve them using sociology, medicine, or new laws. We are able to diagnose our problems more accurately because we have a Christian outlook on the world. The vast majority of our difficulties and our sufferings are at root spiritual in nature, and therefore require a spiritual solution. The world will not accept this. Consequently, we have a great task before us. We must courageously proclaim that the true problems and are spiritual, and that the solutions are only found in Jesus Christ. So as we conclude, let me encourage you. Let me call you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him, to place your hope in Him and His Word. Pray for him to shape your outlook according to the scriptures. Remind yourself daily that your spiritual nature and your identity as a child of God must dominate your outlook instead of the world's way of thinking. And I'll close by quoting 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take it a captive to obey Christ." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you have told us that we have the mind of Christ. You have told us that the image of God has been renewed in us, in our thinking and our knowledge. But, oh Lord, we still walk through this world as pilgrims and strangers. We stumble along the way. We are influenced and led off the path by worldly philosophies and the world's way of doing things. Lord, we ask that you would teach us your word, that you would shape us according to your word. Lord, that the gospel truths that are ours in Jesus Christ, we would actively take up and massage into our life, Lord, as we plead with you to make us more like Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.